Yeah, I'm telling them the just in case they have the old book. Yeah. We're starting on page number 8 if you have the old book. I think I'm the minority, I'm the only one who has it. As for the new book, which is Brother Ijaz's book, you can show them what the book looks like. Just in case. No.
Page 22.
Yeah, page 22 of that book. And Brother Ijaz will recite for us. Read until Quranic fields of study. Yeah, stop there.
Bismillah. General content of the Quran. In Mecca, Muslims were as an oppressed minority, whereas after their migration to Medina, they became the ruling majority. Thus, the revelations of the Quran during the two phases had unique characteristics which distinguished them from each other. The Meccan period, 609 to 622 CE. This period starts with the beginning of the prophethood in Mecca and ends with the Prophet's Hijra migration to the city of Medina. The revelations of this period were mainly concerned with building the ideological foundation of Islam, Iman, Faith, in order to prepare the early band of converts for the difficult task of practically establishing the social order of Islam. Consequently, the following basic topics of Meccan revelations all reflect one aspect or another of the principles designed to build faith in God. Nam'ay, Tawheed, Allah's unity. Most of the people of Mecca believed in a supreme being known by the name Allah from the most ancient of times. However, they had added a host of gods who shared some of Allah's powers or acted as intermediaries. Accordingly, Meccan revelations declared Allah's unique unity and pointed out that gods besides Allah are of no benefit. B. Allah's existence. Some of the early verses presented logical arguments proving the existence of Allah, of God, for the few Meccans who actually denied it. C. The next life. Since there was no way for human beings to know about the next life, the Meccan revelations vividly described its wonders, its mysteries, and its horrors. D. The people of old. The Meccan verses often mentioned historical examples of earlier civilizations which were destroyed when they denied their obligation to God, like the Ad and Thamud. In order to warn those who rejected the message of Islam and to teach the believers about the greatness of Allah. E. Salah, formal prayer. Because of the critical relationship between Salah and Tawheed, Salah was the only other pillar of Islam to be legislated in Mecca, besides the declaration of faith, Tawheed. F. Challenges. In order to prove to the pagan Meccans that the Quran was from God, some of the Meccan verses challenged the Arabs to imitate the style of the Quran. The Medina period, 622 to 632 CE. The Hijra marks the beginning of this period and the death of the Prophet, and the death of the Prophet in 632 CE marks the end. After the Prophet's migration to Medina and the spread of Islam there, he was appointed as the ruler, and the Muslim community became a fledgling state. Thus, revelation was concerned primarily with the organization of the Muslim state, and it was during this period that the majority of the social and economic laws of the Sharia were revealed. Revelation during this period also strengthened the foundation of Iman and Taqeed, which were established during the Meccan period. However, most of the following basic topics of the Medinan revelations concentrate on the laws necessary for the development of an Islamic nation. A. Laws. It was during the Medinan period that the last three pillars of Islam were revealed, as well as the prohibition of intoxicants, or gambling, and the punishment for adultery, murder, and theft were fixed. B. Jihad. During the Meccan period, Muslims were forbidden to take up arms against the Meccans who were oppressing them in order to avoid their decimation and to keep to develop their patience. The right to fight against the enemy as well as the rules of war were revealed in Medina after the numbers of Muslims had dramatically increased. C. People of the Book. In Medina, Muslims came in contact with Jews for the first time and with Christians on a large scale. Thus, a number of Medinan verses tackled questions which were raised by the Jews in order to befuddle the Prophet and discredit Islam. The verses also outlined laws concerning political alliance with Christians and Jews, as well as laws permitting marriage with them. D. Munafiqs. Hypocrites. For the first time since the beginning of the final message, people began to enter the fold of Islam without really believing in it. Some entered Islam to try to destroy it from within because Muslims were strong and they could not openly oppose them, while others entered and exited shortly thereafter in order to shake the faith of the believers. Consequently, some Medinan verses exposed their plots and warned against them, while others laid the foundations for the laws concerning apostles.
So before we get into any kind of discussion concerning the difference between Meccan and Medinan verses, let's do a brief summary or a brief discussion about the word Qur'an itself. Linguistically speaking, the word Qur'an comes from the root qara'a, meaning to, you know, the recitation. Qara'a means to recite. Qur'an means the recitation. According to some of the scholars, it is said that the Qur'an has been called the Qur'an because it gathers all of the fruits of past books and all of the knowledges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the types of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to mankind. سُمِيَ قُرْآنٌ لِكَوْنِهِ جَامِعًا لِثَمْرَةِ الْكِتَابَ السَّابِقَ بَلُ الْعُلُومِ جَمِيعًا. And we see this in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. He says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, for example, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَا. For us is the gathering of this book, and for us is the recital. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have not left anything out in the book. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have revealed the book, and in it is an explanation for all things. So, the Qur'an, you know, part of its function is that, you know, it explains what has already been explained to mankind. And by the way, one of the names of the Qur'an itself is al-dhikr. And so we see very clearly that it serves this particular function. Now this is a linguistic sort of look towards the word Qur'an itself. Now what about the technical aspects of the word itself? When we say Qur'an, we have to be very specific as to what we mean. You know, what is Qur'an? You know, how would someone define Qur'an? Book of Allah, okay. But the Torah in its original form is also the Book of Allah. So how would you define the Qur'an then?
The
Muslims. Huh? Sorry, what? Well, I didn't hear the last part.
Book of the Muslims.
Book of the Muslims. Sahih al-Bukhari is also the Book of the Muslims.
It's a universal message for all times.
Yeah, okay, but the Christian would say the Bible is also the universal message of mankind.
That was for a specific time.
Yeah, okay. But we need to be very specific with our words. How would we describe the Qur'an then in that case? I mean, Dr. Abdul Hakim, he put the clause on for it's for a specific time. So that's precisely the point. We need to be very meticulous in regards to how we would define the Qur'an. Let's say there's an alien who's just appeared and he doesn't know anything about Qur'an, Islam, Muslims, he doesn't know anything. How would you define the Qur'an for him?
The last book.
The last book.
Containing
everything. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. In a way, you know, Sahih al-Bukhari is the last book as well. In a way, because, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet. There's not going to be any kind of prophet who's going to give that kind of advice as, you know, found in Sahih al-Bukhari as well.
Same Muslim?
Yeah, exactly, that's the point. Yeah, that's one part of it as well, right? So basically, you're giving good answers, but you're giving them in chunks. Right, so basically the usuliyin, those who study the Qur'an and its sciences, etc. and so forth, they've devised a very specific definition of what the Qur'an is. Right, and that is kalamullah al-munazzal ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam bilisanin arabiyyin mubin al-mut'abbad bitilawatihi المعجز بألفاظه المنقول إلينا بالتواتر المبدو بالفاتحة والمختوم بالجنة والناس. Yeah, I mean, it's very specific. So let's look at all of these points one by one. Number one, كلام الله. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our belief, by the way. We believe that the Qur'an verbatim, every single letter, is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can compare this with what the Christians say about their Bible. They say that their Bible is the Word of God, but they will say this is not the literal Word of God. They will say this is the inspired Word of God. Meaning, there were certain writers and individuals who were inspired by God to write. And thus they did. And that's how the Bible was sworn. As for the Qur'an, as for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say it is the literal word of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Right? So this is a very, you know, stark difference between us and other beliefs and ideologies. Secondly, Al-Munazzil ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam biwasitati Jibreel, by the agency of Jibreel, and this is how we have it. right? As opposed to, you know, for example, the Shia, who also believe in the Quran, but they also believe, you know, that, you know, it could be possibly be revealed to Ali radiallahu an, etc. and so forth.
Don't they also believe that this book is not complete?
Yes, it's a belief amongst some of the more extreme groups amongst the Shia. And I don't want to get too much into it, but they say there's a 115th surah. It's called Surah Al-Wilaya. And it's a specific surah which outlines the right of Ali radiallahu anhu to have the khilafah. So in any case, number three, bilisanin arabiyyin mubin. A very specific sort of quality of the Qur'an is that it is in the Arabic language. It is not in Hebrew, it is not in Aramaic. Al-muta'abbad bitilawatihi. It is used in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the hadith, the sunnah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. But we do not use the sunnah to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? You know, and there's no one who will find, you know, when he's in prayer, you know, after Fatiha he goes, Ad-deenun nasiha. Right? No one like that. Right? So the Qur'an is different to other forms of revelation, even within Islam, because it is used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mu'jaz bi-alfadihi. As for the Qur'an, it also differs with the sunnah in the sense that there is something precisely miraculous about the wordings of the Qur'an itself, the words used. This cannot necessarily be said with regards to the sunnah. Al-manqul ilayna bit-tawatir. It's given to us in mutawatir form, and we know this word already. And it begins with Fatiha and ends with Nas. We know this. Clear. But you can, you know, just appreciate from this definition how specific some of the scholars are when they get down to the nitty-gritty of things. Another question. What is the difference between... We know the difference between the Qur'an and the Sunnah, but what is the difference between the Qur'an and Hadith Qudsi, for example? I've mentioned it before, but let's address it in greater detail, inshallah. Not directly from Allah.
It is narrated by the Prophet.
So basically the difference is that, you know, the Quran, as we know, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in words and meaning. As for the Hadith Qudsi, its meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the words are from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used these words. They are not necessarily everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Or, you know, in 100% exactly as it is. So this is the difference. Can we explain the difference once more? Faisal, what's the difference? Very crucial point here. Okay, Zikrun.
Quran is the literal word from Allah. And to paraphrase what you said, I think Hadith Qudsi is like the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Allah.
Yeah, he's narrating from Allah in his own words. Yeah, this is the difference.
So meaning is from Allah.
This is the same with regards to Hadith as well. There's a general, you know, generally it's the same as well. The Sunnah, the Hadith, is also Wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unlike the Qur'an, it is not word for word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So the Qur'an has reached us on the level of tawatir, you know. That's another difference. The Qur'an is used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that, you know, is obvious and clear. And as we've mentioned, miracle in terms of its words. Now, getting to the main discussion here. We have... The Qur'an, if we were to look at it into one perspective, it could be divided in Makki and Madani. So what are the characteristics of Makki and Madani? So the characteristics of Makki. Any surah which contains a commandment to prostrate. A sajda. This is a Makki surah. And the, you know, there's two exceptions to this general rule, and that is, you know, the 13th and 22nd surah. Any surah which contains kalla, kalla, the word kalla, which means never. And this is, you know, a characteristic element that, you know, this surah is a Makki surah. Any surah which has ya ayyuhan nas, right, is a Makki surah characteristically. You know, generally speaking, and there's some exceptions to this rule as well. If it does not have ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, you know, it's possibly a Madinan surah, and you know, there's some exceptions to this rule, but in general, we can say this. Surahs which begin with some of the broken letters, such as, you know, Qaf, such as Noon, etc. and so forth, in general, it can be said that these are Makki surahs. And, you know, the exception to this rule is Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, etc. and so forth. Any surah which narrates the story of Adam alayhi salam and Iblis and what happened in paradise, this is in general a Makki surah, with the exception of Surah Al-Baqarah, which by and large is a Madani surah. Any surah which relates the stories of previous prophets and what their examples were and how their people treated them, etc. and so forth, are Makki surahs, again with the exception of Surah Al-Baqarah. Also, short surahs which have some kind of rhythm or rhyme to them are Makki surahs. And, you know, the wisdom behind this was, you know, the Muslims, they needed something which they could easily remember, repeat, and recite to others at that time. Towards the latter period of Islam, when, you know, the numbers of Muslims, you know, grew, this sort of feature of the Quran, although it still existed, it wasn't as potent as it was during the early Meccan period. Verses which contain any single argument with idol worshippers. Very clear indication that these are Makki surahs. Verses which call for good conduct, good akhlaq, good behavior, etc. and so forth. Again, signs of a Makki surah. Verses warning of any kind of punishment, any kind of you know, glad tiding in paradise, etc. and so forth, is another example of a Makki surah. As for Madani surahs, those surahs which contain any verses, you know, pertaining to jihad, its rulings, and so forth, Madani surah. Because jihad did not exist whatsoever in the Makki period. Those verses that have any kind of discussion regarding Islamic law, for example, family law, inheritance, money transactions, you know, international law, other acts of obedience, you know, other than prayer and zakat, we can say in general that these are Madani verses. For example, the longest ayah in the Quran, anyone know? Not the surah, longest ayah, what's the long? Okay, so ayat al-dayn, correct. Longest ayah in the Quran, إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ, if you were to give a loan, you know, etc. and so forth, and lays down the rulings pertaining to giving out a loan. Now this, you know, by virtue of, you know, what the content is, we can very easily understand that this is a Madani verse, right? Because these issues were not issues during the Makki period whatsoever. You know, people are being humiliated, tortured, etc. and so forth. People are not going to be thinking about, you know, transactions and business and you know, how to how to deal with loans, etc. and so forth. The main emphasis would be following an example of the past prophets, believing in the hellfire, believing in paradise, and believing in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, the concept of hypocrisy, as we have mentioned. The concept of hypocrisy did not exist whatsoever during the Meccan period. It was only when Islam got a little bit of strength, the people saw some benefit in embracing Islam, that you know the Quran started producing verses pertaining to the hypocrisy that was in certain individuals. Fourthly, any verses containing Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. In general, these are Madani verses. Verses which are long. Madani verses. Again, Surah Ayat al-Dain. Longest verse, Madani verse. Verses which had, you know, arguments with the people of the book.
Arguments with who?
People of the book, Christians, Jews.
Oh.
You know, because in Mecca they were just dealing with the idolaters and no one else. When they moved to Medina, they were dealing with not only the local Jews in that region, but people who used to come in from outside and learn from the Prophet ﷺ. So what is the benefit of knowing Makki and Madani? What is the purpose? Why would we even want to do this? There's a famous author by the name of Manna' al-Qattan. If you study Sharia, if you do a Sharia degree, if you study Quran at you know Medina or something like that, you will 100% you know be affiliated with this person in regards to his works in some ways. Why? Because he's one of the modern scholars who you know have studied you know the knowledge of the sciences of the Quran in great depth. So he says in his own words, knowing Makki and Madani verses will also be helpful in determining the nasikh, abrogating verses, and mansukh, abrogated verses in the Quran. When two verses that seem to be opposite of each other are seen, it can easily be understood that the one that was revealed before, for instance, the Makki verse, is nasikh, and the other one is mansukh. So this is the importance of learning why which verse or which ayah is Makki or Madani. You know, for example, certain people have arguments. You know, they will produce a ayah from the Quran. You know, most recently, I have a relative in Melbourne. He left his family in Melbourne, and he went overseas just to you know make money, get a job, and you know send money back home, etc. so forth, and his you know wife was left in Melbourne. Unfortunately, wife was also left with her parents, and her parents were very you know let's say liberal Muslims, and they produced you know verses from the Quran saying that you know the Jews and excuse me the Christians will go to paradise, etc. and so forth. These verses, you know, for example, that, you know, this uncle was producing to his daughter and showing her, proving, you know, that the Christians are also Muslims. These were, you know, according to Ibn Kathir, abrogated verses. You know, at the very beginning, early stage of Islam, when, you know, the call of Islam had just begun, this ayah was produced. And it was done so in order to get the attention of the Christians such as Waraqata ibn Nawfal, you know, the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha, in order that he may follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, advise him and serve an example for those who would come after him. But the point of all of this was missed by this person. He interpreted it in a way that would argue that, you know, Christians, Muslims, we're all the same. Yeah? And so this is the, you know, benefit of understanding which verses are Makki and which verses are Madani. You know, a small example.
There are some people actually here as well, especially the ones who are into faith.
Yes.
They also, you know, claim these sort of things as well.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, this is what happens. I mean, we are in a situation where a lot of us are not exposed to how we should read the Quran in the first place. You know, we read it like it's any other book, in the sense that, you know, I understand this to mean this in the translation, so therefore, you know, I'll do this. You know, that's how it works.
Manna al-Qattan.
He's got a book by the name of Mabahith fi Ulum al-Quran, you know, studies in the sciences of Quran. I've thought about translating it, but it's just such a huge, huge, you know, job. You know, it's a book this thick, and it's a very good book, actually. You know, if anyone has the ability to read it, I would highly urge them to do so. It's details all of the different sciences of the Quran. Perhaps one of the best books in English to do with the very same topic is Bilal Phillips' own book on the sciences of the Quran. I forgot what it's called. I think it's just called The Sciences of the Quran, Ulum al-Quran, or something like that. But that's probably the best book in English with regards to this topic. And, you know, I'm sure that he's even used, you know, Manna al-Qattan's book as a source for his own book, because it's just rich with information and facts regarding how the Quran was compiled, and the various classifications of the Quran, and etc. and so forth. So let's talk about certain verses that we are talking, you know, just to be more specific, let's talk about the exact verses which may be deemed Makki and Madani. For example, in the text, the author talks about verses which are Makki in nature. And he mentions, you know, Tawheed was, as we, you know, even said ourselves, was a topic that was widely mentioned in the Makki verses. For example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ Makki verse. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ Makki verse. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى Have you seen اللات? Have you seen العُزَّى and the third of them? Manat. Makki verses. Why? Because it's dealing with Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arguing with the disbelievers of the time. Likewise, those things which had something to do with belief in the Akhirah, as we've mentioned. For example, يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ They ask you concerning يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Makki verse. Descriptions of يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ Makki verse. We can just tell by the content as well as the style of the verses. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, wa ma'adraka Mal-Qari'ah. Again, Makki verse. Likewise, those verses which talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, Makki verse. Because this is the base. This is what we need to start from. Am khuliqu min ghayri shay'in am humul khaliqun. Were they created from nothing or are they the creators themselves? Makki verse, right. هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه This is the creation of Allah. So show me what other person or other beings have created other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا He is the one who has created life and death so that he may test which one of you is best indeed. Likewise, anything which talks about paradise, or a hellfire, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ Anything to do with the graves, yeah, or the you know, life after death in the graves, put it that way. The people of old, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا أَلَا بُعْدًا لِمَدْيَنَ كَمَا بَعِدَتْ ثَمُودِ You know, this is the verse concerning Aad and Madian, not Thamud. Thamud, excuse me. As if they had never dwelt and flourished there. How Madian were removed from plain sight, as was Thamud. So examples of people of old. So that we may not fall into their example. So a reminder for those people living in the Makkan period, not to fall into the same situation that these people had fallen into. Likewise, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Have you not seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with Aad? And we have the salah. وَأْمُرَ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرَ عَلَيْهَا. Order your people, order your family to make salah and have istabir upon it. It's sabr is something, but istabir is, you know, something, a severe kind of sabr. A sabr that you just don't let go. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحُوا وَأَدَبَارَ السُّجُودِ. And from the night, extol Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless Him, you know, sanctify Him, and make plenty of sujood. Likewise, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those believers are blessed, those who have khushu' in their prayers. Again, you know, focusing on the basics. Challenges. Another theme in the Makki era. Challenging those amongst the mushrikeen who would say that they can produce something similar to the Qur'an. For example, there was a mushrik by the name of An-Nadr ibn Harith. And he used to say, you know, these are stories, this Qur'an has stories. I can produce better stories. Right? And, you know, there were those who used to challenge the Qur'an in terms of, you know, how it could be written, etc. and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say, you know, even if the whole of mankind, even if the whole of jinnkind, they came to produce a Qur'an like this, they would never be able to do so, even if they were helping one another. SubhanAllah. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبَدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِصُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And if you have any doubt concerning this message to Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have revealed to our servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then come with any single surah and call all of your witnesses other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are indeed amongst those who are truthful. So for those of you who don't know, the Quran started with, you know, a challenge to produce the Qur'an itself. Something akin to the Qur'an itself. Then the challenge became 10 surahs. Produce 10 surahs. Then the challenge became produce one surah. Yeah? So, and this is the, you know, people misunderstand this. The challenge is actually one surah, one single surah. But in some of the books we read concerning dawah, how to give dawah, and you know those, you know, that focus on debate with non-Muslims, this seems to be the first point of discussion with the non-believer. In reality, this is the last point of discussion with the non-believer. Why? Because this is what happened at the last stage of the Makkan period, if you want to put it that way. Last stage of Makkan period. The challenge was there. The challenge was made. So when you make the challenge, it should be the last thing that you do with a believer, not the first. We can talk about Medina and laws, but you know this is something I'm wanting to do with you guys. See if we can be a little bit more interactive. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, we won't do it again. Okay. Okay, so we'll have two teams, inshallah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I think we need your son on this team over here.
Which team?
This son on this team. Okay.
You got six.
Got six? Oh no. Okay. Yeah, alright. Alright. So, Team Ijaz and Team Zikrun over there. Okay. So, I'm giving you two topics laws and jihad. Two very dangerous topics. Now, you have to come with verses, a few verses that you think are madani. And I'll give you people of the book and munafiqun. Yeah, madani. You need to produce some verses about laws and jihad. The two dangerous topics, yeah. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. Let's see who can produce that. No, without Sheikh Google. Alright, use the Musaf, no problem. Use Musaf, no problem. People of book and munafiqun. Yom al-Jumah. Okay.
This is the difference to love for Friday prayers, maybe, is what I'm saying.
You already told us. You are answering
that. You are in the long line.
Yeah. Find them. Get a mushaf. I changed the. This is mansukh. I changed, abrogated it. Khatirant. This is Toba. Okay, Dr. Abdul Hakim is the judge. Sorry?
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Recite the verse so that we all know we heard it. You said we needed to mention it, so we're mentioning. What's the verse? Okay, so Team Zikr on 1 point already. I'm not saying read the entire Quran, just one verse. Like, you're gonna sit there reading. And thing is, I basically gave you all of the information you needed to find this. So now it's practical. You need to find it. Go.
Surah Munafiqun. The whole surah is on.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. That's 1 point. There's some more verse.
Surah Hud, in which Ad, Thamud.
Don't describe the verse. Mention the verse to me.
Okay.
Faisal's got one.
Yes, what is the Faisal? 1 point each.
Yeah, I have got one. It's Surah Zid.
Yeah, very good. 2 points.
One.
Whoever can get to 5 points is the winner. No. You're on this side. You can't do their topics. You're doing Munafiqun and people of the book. This is kind of an unfair advantage, actually. There's lots of ayat about jihad, actually. Yeah. But we've got you, so it balances it out. The whole team's defending on you.
ولا يأبى كاتب أن يكتب كما علمه الله
فليكتب وليملل وليملل الذي عليه الحق وليتق الله ربه ولا يبخس منه شيئا فإن كان الذي عليه الحق سفيها أو ضعيفا أو لا يستطيع أن يمل هو وليه بالعدل واستشهدوا شهيدين من رجالكم فإن لم يكونا رجلين فرجل وامرأتان ممن ترضون من الشهداء أن تضل إحداهما فتذكر إحداهما الأخرى ولا يأبى الشهداء إذا ما دعوا ولا تسأموا أن تكتبوا صغيرا أو كبيرا إلى أجله ذلكم أقسط عند الله أقوم
أقوم الشهادة
وأدنى
ألا
ترتابوا
إلا
أن تكون تجارة حاضرة تديرونها بينكم فليس عليكم جناح ألا تكتبوها وأشهدوا إذا تبايعتم ولا يضار كاتب ولا شهيد وإن تفعلوا فإنه فسوق بكم واتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله
Okay, JazakAllah. So that was Ayat al-Dain, the longest ayah in the Quran. Longest ayah in the Quran. It's interesting, this was, longest ayah concerning matters pertaining to money and finances and things like that. It means, some scholars have derived from this verse, the meaning is that, through money, Allah is taking a lot of words to explain rulings concerning money, because money is a great source of fitna for man. Yeah. And subhanallah. Even the next couple of verses, or the surrounding verses, are among the last verses which were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Concerning what? Money.
I have one more.
Okay.
The reference is Surah Al-Hashr.
Hashr.
Says, مَا قَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ لِينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَبْتُمُهَا قَائِمَةٌ عَلَىٰ أُصُولِهَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll give that to you. Four. So one more and these guys win. Come on, guys. What are you doing? Just... Come on, take your chance. There's a famous saying in Arabic. When we learned Arabic, we had to memorize poetry. It's basically وَمَنْ لَمْ يَضِدْ أَنْ حَوْضِهِ بِسِلَاحِهِ يُحَدَّمْ. This is Jahili poetry from the era of Jahiliya. Whoever does not safeguard his home will be destroyed. Whoever does not safeguard his home with weaponry will be destroyed. This is sore losing.
I have a bad team.
All right, wait. Just give them one chance. Wait, go ahead.
وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُفْتَرُونَ.
But there is no law in that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you were meant to talk about people of the book. No, people of the book or munafiqun.
Yeah, people, you said Aad and Thamud.
No.
I did,
but okay, but we were dividing the topics up, you see. Laws, jihad, and people of the book and munafiqun. Alright, I'll give you sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا السَّدَقَةَ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ. So we'll give the sadaqah to the fuqara over here. 2 points, okay, fine.
Surah Munafiqun.
Okay.
إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا.
You already mentioned that in Surah Al-Munafiqun. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
So,
we have already given
one. Yeah, we've already given one. Right. Okay, one last chance for these guys. Oh, no, wait, go ahead. Go ahead. At school, if someone, says something without lifting his hand, we're not allowed to go to him. We have to ignore him. All right, okay. All right, go ahead.
So this is Surah An-Nisa, verse 143.
Okay.
مُذَبَّبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهُ حَوْلَاهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ حَوْلَاهِ وَمَنْ يَضْلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. So they are swaying between this and that, belonging neither to these nor to God. And he whom Allah sends astray, you will not find them on him, find from him away to the truth, which is Islam.
It's not very clear, but okay. All right. Okay. Fine. 3 points on this side. Okay. All right. All right. Very clear. All right. Fine. Fine. I'll give it to you. You need 1 point. All right. Let's. Oh, we're listening now. Come on.
لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي
يتقبضش
الشيطان من المس. ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاء موعظة بربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. It looks like the clear winners are Team Zukran. Yeah, Akhi, you've already won. It's like you're hitting them with a sledgehammer, like. Right.
And we have a road team. And
right. Right, 5 points they won. Okay. Class. All right. Okay. Next week, the losing team has to provide tea for everyone.
That's going through sword.
Okay, alhamdulillah, I'm glad you guys had fun. But this is I just wanted to give you some practical sort of benefit from this. So that if you hear or listen to certain verses, you will know. Okay, alright, because it's got this, meaning in it, it must be Madani or it must be Makki. And this is basically what I wanted to go through tonight, inshallah. Unfortunately, I don't have, notes concerning what we did last week. Unfortunately, it's been a busy week, report writing season. So, inshallah, next week, we'll go through that next week. So, Jazakumullah khair, we'll end here. Jazakumullah. Yes?
In relation to the product, this ayah, I'm not sure it would be Madani. وَمَنْ يَفْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ الْخَاسِرَةِ. That would be.
With some verses, by the way, it's not always a case that you can say, this is definite. Because even after everything we've discussed, there are some verses which are the subject of this ikhtilaf. That there's some verses which they're, disagree on because of, is it Makki or Madani, etc. and so forth. Even with some surahs, according to some scholars, part of it is Makki and part of it is Madani. So this is even the case. But in general, if we wanted to, the human being is such a creature that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. He loves to, place things in categories and assess them and organize them. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam alayhi salam, He said, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ آدَمَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things. And from this, you know, the scholars point out, you know, that this is the essence of knowledge. You know, categorizing, sorting things, naming things, etc. and so forth. So although it's not precise and exact, from this type of categorization and, you know, sorting, we can have at least an idea, you know, regarding some verses. But we will qualify that by saying that there are some verses which there is ikhtilaf in. Jazakallah khair.
Yeah. Special points, if you can recite a verse that has a bit of this and a bit of that.
Oh, that's the point I was raising. You know, there are some there's at least a few surahs, not very many, that half of it was revealed in Makkah, and the other half was in
not ayah, surah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant something different.
Okay, what did you mean?
I'll still play the game.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were being serious and following him. Okay. No worries, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
You're locked.